Mickey Hart here, you're listening to the GAA Hour Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
You're very welcome along to the GAA Hour brought to you by AIB. Mikey and Conan are here with me as usual every Wednesday. Today we're going to talk to Christian McCaig about Slotnail's brilliance, and we're going to talk to Aaron Kernan on the Club Players Association and what maybe they can achieve or how they're going to fix this mess that everybody talks about at this time of the year. First of all, I want to give a shout out to the Nair and Sean O'Mahony's, two big surprise packages from the weekend. Sean O'Mahony's beat Sarsfield's 1-8 to 8 points. Sean O'Mahony's were intermediate 2 years ago. I love a story like that. You know, you just come up, win intermediate, that momentum which everybody talks about. It's a real bloody thing. Sean O'Mahony's prove it. Win the county title at senior level and then are able to bring it on and beat, you know, a Leinster, a solid Leinster team, not spectacular in Sarsfield. So unbelievable stuff. And the Nair beating Carbery Rangers from Cork after extra time, 2-15 to 1-13. The Nair were in the mix 2 years ago. Austin Stacks beat them in the Munster final, so it wasn't a flash in the pan. These are a solid club team as well.
Yeah, I admire the fact that you're not crowing about calling the Sean O'Mahony's victory last week there.
Yeah, you actually had to remind me of that. I talk so much shit that sometimes the shit I talk I don't actually remember, but I did call that out, that they have a chance. So thanks very much, Mikey, for calling that I called that. Lads, Podge Collins, the death of the dual player. Podge Collins was almost, you know, the last of the dying breed. Is he the last Mohican?
Pretty much.
I think he's the last big one anyway. And he was sticking it out. None in leash. Cathair Healy would be our big one, but he chose hurling, which is surprising enough because like he got on really well with Cheddar. It'll be interesting to see what he chooses now that Cheddar's gone and the leash management, football management have better management. But Podge, last year with the hurlers didn't go brilliantly for Podge, and I'd say this is part of his reasoning. Now he'd have a brilliant relationship with the new hurling management team. Probably not a better relationship than he has with his own father, who's on the football. But he chose his father 2 years ago. The footballers played exclusively with them. Last year, he tried to do both. But with the hurling, in the league final replay, he was taken off after 55 minutes. That was a huge game for Clare. Against Waterford in the championship, he was taken off after 58 minutes. Another huge game. And then another huge game against Galway in Croke Park.
No, it was in Thurles.
It was in Thurles, right. He was taken off after 49 minutes, you know, against Galway. So that's not Podge Collins. Like, Podge Collins is the heartbeat of that Clare team. So I'm sure he's looking back on last year going, look, I can't do both.
No, he can't. But one thing I'd say is you have to really admire him, not just for trying, but for actually winning All-Ireland with Clare and then deciding, actually, I think I'm going to give it a go with my dad's football team. And then saying, well, actually, maybe I can try both. And he's tried both, so he won't die wondering. You know, but yeah. I hate to say it because you do love the idea of a dual player. I think it's a very romantic idea, and everybody loves a dual player. But I just think the scale of the training regimes and the commitment needed at intercounty level now at the top teams, I just don't think it is possible.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Unfortunately, romanticism doesn't come into it anymore. That's the real shame about the GAA. Like, it doesn't matter. You have to train 5 nights a week. There's a funny story interviewing Owen Bradley when he was playing for Glenavon, and I was like, how are you going to balance it? And, you know, normally you used to hear players saying, no, we train Tuesday and Thursday. He said, I'll not train Thursday, but I'll be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday with the team. And it was like, that's sort of an insight into what Derry footballers are doing. Like, then never mind Clare hurlers or whatever. Like, it's just not possible anymore. So we can talk about the romanticism and that, but you just have to choose now and make a commitment to one of them.
Yeah, it was part of the amateur. When the GAA was amateur at intercounty level, you could do it. Like, realistically now, coming down off the highs of one championship win, and maybe psychologically it is more difficult than actual physically because, you know, he's coming down off, say, a league final replay with Waterford, and suddenly he has a first round of a Munster championship with the footballers. Like, I mean, they just don't tally. Yeah. They don't tally up. So I'm sure in his own head, maybe, because I think physically maybe you could get through it.
Physically, yeah, I think so. But I agree with you. I think there's the ups and there's the downs. And I know from Lee Chin doing it a couple of years ago that I think physically, especially someone like Lee Chin or Podge Collins, you know, impeccable, you know, physical specimens. But I think there's just they're two completely different sports. I'm sorry, they are. They're played on the same field, the same number of players, and basically the same formations. But they're not the same sports. It's who was it that told us it took a while to get your eye back
in? Well, one's played with Hurley, right, and the other is not.
Well, that's one major difference. But you know what I mean? They're, you know, they're the same organization, etc. But they are incredibly different sports, and you've got different managers, you've got different environments and different dressing rooms. And I'd say it is very. I'd say you get quite mixed up in your head.
Yeah, no, I think there's no doubt about that. So look, Podge Collins, last of the Mohicans, is gone, and now we've got no more Jewel, and we'll never have them again. Only at club level, and we'll talk Chris McCaig, I mentioned that later on in the show, because he's the slot nail captain of the hurling team who won the Ulster Club. He's centre-half back, one of the most important players on the football, so slot nail have no problem doing the whole Jewel thing, and at least it's still alive at club level. So we're not complete. It's not completely dead in the water yet.
Denier as well, Jamie Barron and the boys.
Jamie Barron, cornerback, and yeah. I loved the way he's cornerback, because I was going to guess where does Jamie Barron play with the footballers. I straight away cornerback. I say he doesn't have much football in him, but he'd do a good man marking job.
Well, Conor Gleeson has a bit of football in him. He's obviously a Waterford under 21 and senior hurler. He scored 5 points in the Waterford final, and he scored 5 points again against Carbery Rangers. So there's a man with football and hurling in him.
There, that's some that's serious talent. Look, it's an incredible skill and talent to be able to do both at that high a level. I think that's why everybody's a little bit sad when they're all gone. Another thing, lads, I was banging on about last week is this must be unprecedented for GA clubs, because we know in Dublin club football and hurling there's a lot of transfers, right? You know, that goes without saying. It's the capital of the country. There's lots of people from the country move here for work. You both play with Dublin clubs or have played with Dublin clubs. I've played with Dublin clubs. We're not from Dublin. This happens. I've never seen a club advertise for players before. So I was nearly knocked off my seat when I saw on the O'Toole's club website, senior hurlers wanted, right, is the headline on the link to the
not reserve hurlers,
the senior webpage. Hurlers. Senior hurlers went. Now, initially when I read this, I thought, okay, O'Toole's are struggling to stay up at senior level and they're looking for help. This is a solid senior team. Like, this is a team, and they say about this, they won 10 of their 11 league games. They were beaten in a league final by Coola. They went 4 games unbeaten in the championship, were beaten in a semi-final by Kilmacud Crokes. It was Coola and Kilmacud Crokes in the final. So you make a case to say O'Toole's are the third best team in Dublin. They want to get over the line. They want to, you know, get that county title. Slot Neil, for example, wanted to get that county title in 2014. They didn't put an ad out in the local paper or in the Derry. What's the local Derry newspaper?
County Derry Post.
County Derry Post for new players. They got in Mickey Moran and they made changes and they had some good minors coming up, and suddenly that's how they got over the line. Why the hell does a Dublin team get to advertise for blow-in players to get themselves over the line? This is exactly what the GAA is not supposed to be about.
But they're forward-looking. They're forward-looking. They're a well-funded team. And for people who are relocating to the north side.
It's like the north Dublin. Imagine that, like Slot Neil did that, South Derry. If you're anywhere near South Derry, come to us instead of all these other clubs around as well. I don't mind if you're living in the area and you do need a place, but it's just they are just saying please.
That's
like
the
they're
thing.
Pitching themselves.
That's the point I would like to make as well, that if somebody moved to O'Toole's for work or whatever, and they went down to O'Toole's and went, look, I'm after moving here, I need a club to play with, you wouldn't have much arguments with that. Now, I think that they shouldn't get to play in provincial championships so soon, but anyways, that's understandable. They've cast their net to the whole north side of the city. Like, you don't even have to be in the O'Toole's parish. Now, I don't know, Dublin clubs don't necessarily go by parishes, but there's borders.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be within their catchment area, and they want to talk to you. Like, Les, this is wrong. How can the GAA stand by and see a club advertising like this?
I think it's inspired, and it has. It's inspired me. I'd just like to say I've prepared something here. Portobello are actively looking for junior footballers, especially those with two arms and two legs in the Dublin metropolitan area. We'd love to have you. We're a forward-looking club with nets, inflated footballs, sadistic coaches, cones, and a camper van for transport. We had a good year in the last decade, so if you want to come on board, you know, there's a Facebook page and all that.
There you go, there's the pitch. It's hard to say no to that. You didn't say what division you're playing your trade
in.
Okay, right, okay, yeah. That's probably, shouldn't have asked that question. But back to O'Toole's quickly, because there's a section here that basically say, you know, their record this year, and they said, we're putting out a call to any senior hurling players that are relocating to Dublin. So it's actually Dublin. We would love to have you. Then they're under the heading, our commitment to you. So this is what they can do for you if you choose. Just really, you know, to really kind of hook you in on this. We're committed to building a winning team. You're committed to bloody a winning team by getting in outsiders. Anyways, if you decide to join the O'Toole Senior Hurling Panel, you will find a forward-looking, well-funded team. Well-funded team. Well, is that? I don't know what that means, but I'd like to know a little bit more about the well-funded part.
Email for more info.
That have embraced. Yeah, there should be a hyperlink on the well-funded team. That have embraced all the latest high-performance best practice techniques. So they've got video analysis. They've match stats. They've external world-class strength and conditional experts. They've off-site days with guest speakers. Listing out all their advantages and all the things they have, but maybe the best one I have, state under the heading of state of the art infrastructure, including arguably the best senior pitch in Dublin. Arguably. It's a classic. So we don't have the best, but you couldn't say definitively if we have, but arguably the people in our club thinks we have the best senior pitch in Dublin. I'm going.
No mention of a camper van though, is there? Nah, there's no camper van. Come to Division 8, come play football at Portobello.
Anyways, we'll get off this topic, but like all joking aside, I'd never ever seen anything like that on a club website before, and you would imagine that the GEA and the Dublin County Board should be coming down on that with like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, it's madness. Like, and you wrote a piece about it last week on the site, and you've got experience of it as well. I think that's what people weren't getting. They were sort of trying to say, oh, well, like, you did it. And I was like, well, yes, then listen to him. Like,
it makes me more, you know, educated to be able to talk about it. But, you know, okay, but seriously, the advertising, lads, we'll leave it at this. The advertising is wrong. It's not how you should improve your club. You should not be thinking, we're nearly there, this will get us over the line, let's advertise for new players. How can clubs outside of Dublin compete with that? It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong.
So it's wrong.
Definitely wrong. Micah, you were talking to Paddy Andrews yesterday, and the one thing that jumped out at me, and it roared and screamed at me, it's on sportsjoe.ie, he played 3 or 4 times with his club this year.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The final game was the Dublin 15 derby on Sunday. They beat Castleknock, so they got a little bit of bragging rights over the noisy neighbours at the weekend. But, yeah, and he didn't sound happy about it, but he's a Dublin intercounty footballer who's won 4 All-Irelands. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to cry too many tears either. You know, he hasn't got the worst lot of it. But, you know, he says the same thing that they all say. You know, you celebrate in All-Ireland and 8 days later you're back playing in Parnell Park against Ballymun in a Dublin clinker of a senior football championship game. And again, how do you get your head into it? How do you fit into that new environment? How do you remember the plays? How do you fucking remember who you're playing with? You know, you've played 3 times with these lads, probably not since February or March. You've been playing with Kieran Kilkenny and every other Dublin footballer, Bernard Brogan, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, I'm back with these lads who I've known since I was a kid but never play with anymore. He seems to really think that a point has been reached now where something has to be done. He seemed, whether he was saying that just to change the topic, but he did seem like almost optimistic. But then you're a Dublin, is he a turkey voting for Christmas? What exactly does he think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Is the inter-county season going to suffer?
What are these ideas though? Like, everyone just keeps saying something has to happen, somebody has to do something, and no one's bringing forward an idea. Like, you need a player to say, like, here's the way it should be. Like, nobody's offering that.
How do you mean?
Like, no, there's no player. Everyone's complaining about the way it is and how you don't get to play with your club, or the way the fixtures are, or the club's squashed in November, but no one's coming forward and saying, this is how I want it to be done.
Well, we have the CPA now, Conan, which actually, after I couldn't disagree with you. Well, this link disagrees with 100% of what you're after saying. We have the CPA now, which is, you know, we talked about them not so long ago. We talked to Declan Brennan, but in the meantime they've spoken to Pádraig Duffy in Croke Park. They had a meeting with him on the 7th of November on a Monday night. They've met themselves. They've released a statement which says the Club Players Association intends to be the voice of the club player, nothing new there, to protect their well-being by delivering an unchangeable, meaningful fixtures programme within a shorter season for every club player. So that's basically the crux of what they're striving to deliver for players. An unchangeable, meaningful fixtures programme. So how they go about doing that is the next question. But, you know, to help us talk about it, we have Aaron Kernan on the line. Aaron, this is such a mess at club level at the moment. How can the CPA fix the issues that are there?
Well, like everything else, it'll probably end up, it'll take time and it'll be complicated. But I think the CPA and what they really see themselves at is, it's clearly stated that they're the vice for the club player or the club person. But I sort of feel that the club player and the club person, while at times they might voice an opinion publicly or in a newspaper or on Twitter or Facebook or something out there, I don't feel that they really have gone after the support the right way for change. And I think that's what the CPA, they want to get the grassroots on board. There's 1,500 clubs. There's almost, I think it's 230,000 senior playing members within our games, and it's time to start getting them rallying around. And it means going to their AGMs, it means sending their club delegates to their county boards with the right mandate, it means making sure their county board officials go to the Congress with the right mandate and voting for the right change. So that's the first thing I feel initially needs to be done in order for there to be any sort of a change within the GAA calendar that is going to, most importantly for me, is bring it into one calendar year and then condense your every competition, really. There's no point in saying that the county calendar needs to be condensed. Yes, it definitely does, but I think every calendar needs to be condensed or tweaked or changed, something dropped across the board as far as I'd be concerned.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll get on to that calendar year in a minute. But you just mentioned there the grassroots being represented. The grassroots are represented. Clubs are represented at county board level, and county board level is represented at Congress. Where is this disconnect happening? You know, club delegates get into county board level and suddenly their priorities change for some reason.
Yeah, well, that's the question. I did an article in Ayers News a couple of weeks ago, and I asked that question. And the simple thing was, for instance, that Pádraig Duffy, he threw out a couple of things. Not everyone might like what he said within his proposals, but number one, he wanted to bring the All-Ireland final forward, which would have left the whole of September then free for clubs. He wanted to do away with replays, which meant that there was a wee bit more certainty for clubs within their calendars. Just those two small things, right, definitely would make a change to a club footballer. So therefore, if everybody within clubs wants change and the top man's proposing this, how the hell did it not go through?
No.
That's what I don't know. Now, then I thought back to my own situation, and I sat at our club AGM last year, and there wasn't a mention of a club calendar. It wasn't brought up once. Now, that's probably my own fault, because I was sitting there. But the fact that I was still the only senior footballer at our club GM or AGM probably is part of the problem. I didn't bring it up to put it forward. So why is everyone else in the committee, who was probably 50 years plus, they're not going to bring it up? So therefore, we actually didn't send anyone from our club. And that's the only one that I know, because it's my own club. But we definitely never sent forward our club delegate with a mandate or with a proposal to our county board. So I don't know whether anyone else at Armagh actually bothered to do it. So maybe this is where the problem is. Maybe we're all saying there's a problem, but is anybody actually sending their club delegates to even to their county conventions asking for change? I don't know. I know within my own club, we definitely didn't. So maybe we're a part of the problem, that we're just sitting waiting for someone else to do it.
Yeah, maybe part of the CPA's job will be to raise awareness for stuff like that, and what you're saying there, just so that players realise that they actually have got a voice through their clubs if they go and use it, you know. And that's a big tool. Logistically, how do you think the CPA is going to work? You know, the GPA obviously have a rep in every county, and they have to deal with 30 panel members, and they report back to the GPA. How can the CPA reach every club? You know, are they going to have reps in every county? Are they just going to have a committee and who have a voice for the club players?
No, that's you're hitting the nail on the head there, because we all sat around that first morning and we talked about different ways as how we could go about this. How can we get stuff registered or whatever? And I give two clear examples, where the first one was, I personally, on my club, on our club WhatsApp group, I've put up two messages directly just to the players within my panel, and I said, yeah, will you just follow this? You know, give them your support online. I'd say 95% at least of our squad are on Facebook and Twitter and that there. To date, two players have followed it.
Jesus.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's part of the problem, all right? And then the second thing is, a simple thing of whenever I was the GPA rep within Armagh, and you got your government grants at the end of the year, I would have had 10 boys who turned around and said to me, hey, will you fill that out for me, will you? And that was them. They were getting money for that, and they wouldn't even bother to fill it out. Now I'm asking them, will you just follow this thing on Twitter, follow it on Facebook? And they're all on it, but they're not doing it. So for me, so I said that to the other people who was in the room, and they laughed. Like, but I says, that's the reality. Like, everybody says they want change here, but they won't even hit follow on Twitter, you know, to support a campaign that we have a crowd of people who are trying to go and work for the players. Like, again, that I can only speak from my own point of view. I'm sure if you went into every other club across the country, it's going to be the same. So in the room, I said, if you want to ask me, what am I going to do within Armagh? How am I going to make this work? The first thing I said is, I'll speak to our county secretary. I'll get the email addresses of every club within our county, all their secretaries. And I, whatever the mandate that this, or whatever the sort of the party line that comes out from the CPF, what we're going to be, which sort of came out last week, I will directly go to every club secretary in Armagh, and I'll say, this is what we are, this is what we're about, this is the change that we want. Can you give me the contact number of your club senior player throughout the within your club? And I'll do this around the county. And I've got another two men on board with me. So we'll split Armagh into South Armagh, Mid Armagh, North Armagh, which it is already. And between the three of us, it'll take time. It'll take 4 or 6 weeks. But we will go directly to every club captain within our county and say, this is our message. Can you put it in the group chat? And can you come back to me with numbers of who's in, who's going to support us, who'd register to support this group, and give us our support? And at least then I can go back and I go, there's facts. This is who wants change. This is who'll support us. And these really don't care, or just didn't bother replying. And at least I'll factually know. And I think that's the only way forward, is you need to get people on the ground within your counties, getting the message out there and getting people to support it, because without the support, it eventually it'll just fall away again, yeah, and they'll just wait for someone else to do it. Like,
yeah, fair play to you, Aaron. That's an awful lot to take on board. And are they going to try and have reps like yourself in every county to try and get feedback from, from all the clubs?
That's the process. So, like, yeah, initially, now this first meeting only happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it needs to be pointed out.
We talked around how we sort of felt that we could get going again. And it's grand saying you could throw up a website, so you could throw up Facebook and just get everyone to come and register it. But I've just given you the points away. That's not going to work now.
Yeah.
At the minute, like, say you have maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people following Twitter, the Twitter following, it's building all right. But you have to remember, we've 230,000 senior playing members, like,
yeah,
across the whole country. Like, so you're not even getting a drop in the ocean of them for what you have. But the big thing is raise awareness, like, and I think the only way you're going to do it is actually get out and get into that squad. I don't think it's feasible for me to drive around every county or every club in Armagh. I'd hate to be the person who was in Cork where they've over 200 clubs.
Jesus.
You know, it's just not possible.
Derek Kavanagh is a tough one down there.
He does. And that's the problem. You know, counties are so big and so vast, and then they've dual clubs and that. You know, within Armagh, I'm probably lucky that we don't have the biggest of counties. An hour would take you from one end to the other, but that's the only way I felt that if I was turned around that room and I'd say, I'll come back here with exact facts, that's the only way I was going to get out and get an actual answer from each club. And I just felt it was the best way of being able to do it without driving every club. And, you know, I have a job and I have a family and that too. I don't have, and no one in the CPA wants an official job, wants an official role. We all want change, but we just want to see how we can do it to the best of our ability in a professional manner, but being realistic about it too. Like,
Aaron, Mikey here. I was just wondering, is there a fear for you that the CPA could almost go a little bit like the GPA in that it's like an organisation or a representative body for, like, the upper tier of club players and, like, the likes of yourself, you know, former inter-county players who are, you know, nationally known? Would that be a fear? And if so, how can you fix that? How can, as you're trying to say there, how you get a point across to those 230,000 that this is their association and they need to make it work if it's going to have any impact at all?
Yeah, a very good friend of mine and a former teammate of mine just said, like, well, sure, this is nonsense already. Like, why are you going there? Why is like a normal club player not going? And I take offence to that because there's nobody a bigger club man to me. Yes, I play at Enter County Football, but I am 100% a club man, and this isn't a jobs for the boys thing. We want everybody to come and support this. But in fairness, I would say if you were to turn around and just pick someone from, I don't know, a junior club somewhere and say, I should tell you what, you go around every club, you know, with no support or no backing from, he probably get even less people. Like, and I'm not saying that you have to be an Enter County footballer to be the face of this. Like, we went up there and probably some of them people who come up with the best ideas and who are every bit as passionate, you know, they openly stood up in the room whenever we all introduced ourselves, and they didn't play county football, but they played club football their whole careers. They've had admin roles, they've been club chairmen, they've been involved in finance committees. Like, there is a broad spectrum of people. You probably just see the names that people recognise, and that's what you pluck out of it. But within that, there was people from across the country, Cork, Galway, Meath, you know, that weren't county footballers, but were there, and they're there for the right reasons. So I think straight away people can use that as an excuse if they want, but it is an excuse. I'm there for the right reasons, and I know that. All I want to do is lend support to what I think is much needed change. Like.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about, that's obviously the logistics of the whole thing, which will be difficult, but to solve the issue, you know, the issues club players face with their season being condensed too far into October, September and October, a lot of people say shortening the intercounty season is going to fix everything. But like, I mean, when you actually break it down, there was only 6 counties playing in August in the country. So how many? 6 from 34 that start out the year, or how many? 33 to start out. You're talking about 27, 28 counties that were out before the end of July. Now, that's if you're going to shorten any inter-county season, you're going to shorten it, and if you get it at the end of July, middle of August, you'd be doing absolutely brilliantly. So even if you condense it, there's still 27 counties that were out around the time of the shortened inter-county season anyways. And you look at it, despite that, county finals went on the 6th of November in Waterford. On the 30th of October, we had the Meath County Final and we had the Westmeath County Final. Meath and Westmeath were out in July. Then on the 23rd of October, we had the Cavan County Final, Clare, Galway, Roscommon. That's all in football. On Sunday, the 16th of October, we had Armagh, we had Cork, we had Derry, we had Donegal, we had Kerry, we had Kildare, we had Laois. A whole load went on the 16th of October. That's despite all these counties being out in early July or mid to late July. Like, shortening the inter-county season will not solve anything unless county boards get the kick up the arse and it's fixed. Like, the CPA has so many issues to fix, Aaron.
They do, and I'll cover all your points on that there then. So the first thing is, you're absolutely right in that there's counties who are going weeks on end here. And like, why was the Waterford County Final played on the 6th of November is beyond me. Completely unfair on them. That is the problem. So again, the CPA, everyone throws out, it's Croke Park's fault, it's Croke Park's fault.
Yeah.
Croke Park have proposed change and everyone has turned it down.
Yeah.
So it's not Croke Park's fault, it's the county's fault. So, and it all stems back to the clubs. The clubs aren't sending the right people to the county conventions, which then go to Congress to try and put change through at national level. But the clubs also are letting their county boards away with prolonging county seasons. There's absolutely no need for it. I seen on Twitter last night that the Waterford Intermediate Final is on this weekend. You know, the Senior Final was on 2 weekends ago. You have a Meath League Final on a Tuesday night last night. You know, that is nothing to do with Croke Park. Croke Park cannot run every single fixture list within every county. That is the county's responsibility. But the counties are run by the clubs, and they're obviously not putting enough pressure at county board level to make sure that a correct calendar is put in place. Now, what that masks over, sort of your points there, and I completely get them. I think for most cases, you're right, is personally, I don't have a complaint with the Armagh County Board, because I would say there's not one county who's run as good as what they are. And for instance, in March this year, we get our fixture list of every single game that we were playing, league, championship, divisional championship, the whole lot. Every game went ahead on the exact same date that it was to go ahead. We had 15 league games. It took 5 championships to win the county championship, and then you had 5 divisional games. So that was 25 games that we had. They were all, everyone cries and says we want to play between the right teams. Those games were played between April and October. Now, the reason why the Armagh County final was played on the 16th of October is because it's 2 weeks before the first round of the Ulster Club Championship.
Okay.
So therefore, it left our team perfectly placed that they had games every 2 weeks continuously till they got, and then they were ready to go and represent. So that's why I know what you're saying is right, in that county finals then aren't being finished till October and not there, but I know for sure the reason why it's done in Armagh is that why we could have pushed ahead and finished it early and had it finished in August or September if you wanted to, but then you were leaving your club players then within Mahery and Clonmore and Whitecross, that they were sitting maybe possibly waiting 4 or 5 weeks to play in the Ulster club. So that's the reason. Now, if we got it all into a calendar year and the inter-counties condensed, then you can say, yeah, well, the Armagh County Final can then move to the start of September, because the Ulster Club is going to start in the middle of September, because the All-Ireland is going to be the last week in November. But everything can scale back from then. But at the minute, I wouldn't see any sense in having an Armagh County Final in the middle of September if our county team have it a poor year, because it just means that you're going to end up training for a month to play the first round of the Ulster Club under the current format. So I would say that's why a lot of counties still have their county finals in October, because it's still just giving them a 2-3 week break to be ready then for the provincial championships.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I saw Sarsfields before they played Sean O'Mahony's had a month idle since their county final, and Sean O'Mahony's only had 2 weeks because they had a preliminary Leinster club. So I suppose unless every county streamlines their county championship, where they're all going to end at the end of or mid-August or the end of September at the latest, then have provincial club championships in October, November, and All Ireland probably hopefully at the end of November, then it doesn't pay any.
I knew my Armagh club championship. You know the Ulster Club Championship every year, and then you know whenever the All-Ireland semi-final and final is at the minute now. So that was, I knew a calendar for 12 months if we were lucky enough to win an All-Ireland club. There's nothing more I could ask for. In the middle of July, we had 2 weeks complete break, so that we all went on holidays, you know, so you weren't even missing league football. And this was all within our calendar. So as a club player, I couldn't complain whatsoever. The thing is, people then say, oh, well, county players should be playing every game for their clubs. I don't agree with that. I was a county footballer, and while you're with the county full on at the start of the championship, whatever, I think there's a certain time within the year you just need to leave them at it. It's very hard to chop and change to go from one to the other every week. Like, if you're talking about Burnet, if you think you're going to get a young fella to play a Sigerton Cup, maybe under 20 championships, and then play every league and championship game for both club and county, he'll have a savage amount of football under his belt by the time he hits the end of that year, do you know? So there's a certain time where I think you maybe just need to leave your inter-county footballers alone and let them play for the counties. But the club season should not stop because of that.
Yeah, no, that brilliant stuff, Aaron. Thanks very much for taking the call.
No worries at all, Colin. Anytime.
Interesting stuff there from Aaron, lads. God, it's such a difficult one. Number one, logistically, to get the voice of every club player in Ireland heard. Then when they're heard, how you actually fix all this, because we know the calendar year has been approved to Congress. It hasn't got the stamp of approval from the Central Council yet, so we don't know when that's going to kick in. But when that kicks in, you know, county boards are going to have to get their houses in order, because you're going to have that county final finished at the end of September, or else forget about your provincial club. And, you know, that's the reality of it, because at the moment they're in a comfort zone where they're just letting it float out till the end of October, and they're under no pressure, and they don't seem to be snappy enough with their club championships.
And most of them only have, what, 5 rounds tops?
Five rounds,
ridiculous that they do take 4 or 5 months to finish it off. Like, they can do that in 8 weeks, 9 weeks tops. Like, you know, they could have a good break in between, they could cater for replays. They don't have a lot of rounds. Like, a lot of counties only have 4 rounds to go through. So
yeah, it's the duel though as well, throws a spanner,
yeah,
and that works.
That's fair enough, but I do think it's important that someone like Aaron's there, because I still think you need that link as well, like someone who's been at county level. So when all the club players are getting carried away suggesting something, he can say, well, hang on a second, because this isn't going to work because of whatever. you do need someone who's got a bit of experience with both.
Yeah, no,
it sounds like there's a template there in Armagh. That sounds, I don't know why Aaron Kernan's involved in the CPA at all. It sounds like they have it all figured out in Armagh, doesn't it?
Yeah, they seem to be going pretty well, you know. And Monaghan is another example. There's a lot, like, you don't want to paint like a brush across Ireland and say every county board is terrible. Some of them are not running them efficiently, but some of them really are, and they have good people in charge of county boards. And like that example from Aaron, players want to know exact months, exact times of matches, and none of them were changed, you know. So that's an example, fair enough. Did run a bit long, but his argument is, why get it played off in September and then have a huge break? Because some other county isn't bloody got their shop in order. So I don't know. My initial thoughts on this was that everything should be centralised through Croke Park, and, you know, they have to be keeping an eye on everyone. But Pádraig Duffy told me at the time, we can't be telling every county board has, you know, is autonomous. We can't be telling them all what to do. But like, one county board messes up, and every other county board, then their county champions are sitting around idle. But anyways, lads, you'd actually get a pain in your head trying to think about how the CPA are going to do it. But fair play to them for doing it. We'll have to leave it there. Next up, we're going to talk to Slot Nails' Chrissy McCaig.
I've had fellas follow me, and not just Cork lads, you know what I mean? It happens and it does happen, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a lonely spot, and the best thing you can do is keep moving. And I thought Connolly looked to be trying to do that the last night.
The camera show didn't look great. There was maybe they could say it was theatrical or whatever, but like, the reality is that there was contact, and I wasn't trying to win a penalty, I was trying to go out and win the ball.
You know, actually it's funny, your man Conan, what's his name, on your programme, like, I was wondering, was he at the same match as me? He was kind of making out dirty, but unlucky to lose. Like, let's go. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure,
50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name. AIB, back in club and county.
All right, delighted to say I've got Slot Nails, hurling captain, centre-half back on the football team, and Derry centre-half back as well, Chrissy McCaig on the line. Chrissy, I think the one thing I take from the weekend's result, and it shows how far Slot Nail have come, is that it was almost a routine win against the Tyrone champions. Is that fair to say?
No, well, to be honest, after the Derry-Galway game, we were very disappointed with how we had performed. We had taken into consideration, of course, that was our fourth week on the bounce for the Euro players, and the elation and the emotion of finally getting over the line in Ireland. But ultimately, we were disappointed. We seen Kelly Clougher in the replay against Killeen and Tyrone, and to be honest, we were definitely worried. But our preparation for the 2 weeks was exemplary, and we put on a very good performance. But definitely going into that game, we were definitely wary of what Kelly Clougher could produce. We were just really, really happy with the performance at the end of the day.
Yeah, because I'll get on to the dual thing in a little while, because what your club is doing, you know, is pretty incredible since 2014. Give us a little bit of an idea of what we're dealing with Slot Nail, how big the club is, what kind of a catchment area you have, you know, how many people you have to pick from.
I've probably been asked that question a few times, but I can't give a definitive answer to it.
Is the 300 families thing true?
Well, when you say 300 families, it almost seems like an awful lot. I would almost say that there's maybe less, but I suppose the thing about Slot Nail is a lot of the families we have playing or that have played in the past, they'd be quite large families. The club itself, I suppose, would come from a relatively small catchment area, and I suppose I get a bit of stick myself from living in the neighbouring parish Glen, but my family has always played for Slot Nail, and there's a few other families that are probably similar to me in the fact that they don't necessarily live within a 2 mile radius of the pitch, but their mothers or fathers, uncles or aunts have played for Slot Nail, so they have continued their legacy, I suppose. But definitely it's not a huge club, but
I always go back to the one that it's about the Gaelic crime population, and every man, woman and child in Clonmel has an interest in Gaelic games. Gaelic games comes first. And I think when you've no other distractions or no other threat from other clubs, I suppose, you'll tend to find that you'll have a large Gaelic playing population, and Clonmel certainly have that.
Yeah, there's certainly no distractions in the village anyway, because it only has a post office, a school, and there isn't even any shops.
No. It's definitely a rural club. The surrounding area of Slaneel would be all rural too. And I think that's one of our biggest strengths, is the fact that we pride ourselves on being a really good rural club. Everybody in the area would look after each other, would help each other out, and you know, that's always been the case. There has always been strong values that way, and then quite recently we have really pushed the Irish language in the area, and that has paid dividends in the local school, and all the children now have been brought up and are being brought up with a huge emphasis on Irish culture and language.
Yeah, it's brilliant stuff. I want to concentrate on the football for a minute, Chrissy. Where has this team come from? Because I was looking back down through minors and under-21s in Derry, and it's not like you've been dominating at underage level. You know, you won a senior title in 2004, then didn't win one again. That was your first ever one. And then you won one again in 2014, and you've won three in a row. Has this team, like, has it been known in the club that this team is on the way? Or, you know, was it just Mickey Moran's influence that got you over the line? Where's the team come from?
I think Derry club football has always had a huge tradition and quality. You look at Ballaghy, you look at Ballanderry, you look at Lavey. All them three clubs have won a Ireland club titles and have done very well in Ulster. Derry club record in Ulster is by far the best in comparison to the other counties. But I suppose from 2000 onwards, Derry club football had probably five teams, maybe even arguably perhaps more, that were as good as anybody else in Ulster, and that's probably reflected by the Roll of Honour. I mean, Ballanderry won the club All-Ireland in 2001, and then beat them in 2003 and went on to win Northwood themselves. Then we won in 2004, and then Blahy came back in 2005 and were beaten in the Ulster final by St Gaels, who went on to win the All-Ireland. So there was a lot of competition in Derry.
Yeah.
We had been knocking on the door after 2004. We were beaten in the 2008 final by Ballanderry narrowly, and then Ballanderry popped it again in 2012. At that stage, Ballanderry and Crossmaglen were probably the two best sides in the country. So I suppose we've always been thereabouts, but we have an influx of the younger generations now, and we almost have three generations of players almost playing. We have the Padraig Kelly, the Barry McGuigan that were around playing minor in probably 1999-2000, and then we have maybe my group at 26-27, and then you have the Sheen McGuigans, the Cormac Dohertys at 18-19 years of age. So I think there's a really good balance.
Yeah, and what about this new influx? Because, you know, 2014 you had an unbelievable year. But you came up short in the final. So this, with these 18, 19-year-olds, you think you're that little bit stronger this year?
I think it's really, really important to freshen up a team, irrespective if they're winning or not. But we had a minor team there that won the All-County Minor A title last year. And there's been three or four boys that have come in, but there's been Cormac Doherty, Paul McNeil, who also started the team, were the minor the year before that. So,
right.
I think when you don't have a huge pick or whatever, you need to make sure that your better players underage are coming through. And lucky enough, we have a really good playing staff that can guide players through, but also we have really good coaches in the club that keep boys at it, because as we all know, sometimes it's hard keeping the younger boys at it. There's many, many distractions that can take their focus away from actually playing Gaelic games, but thank God the young boys came through really well.
Yeah, talk to me about Mickey Moran's influence then. He doesn't do much media, so I can't ask him. I read Patsy Bradley said that he brought that little bit of tactical awareness to the club, which you didn't have before him. Is that fair?
Aye, look, Mickey's probably created this model, but God bless common sense, you know. I think if you're playing in a dual club, common sense has to be applied. The dictatorship just simply wouldn't work in Slough Neil and simply hasn't worked in the past. There has to be a bit of give and take, and the players are put at the front, because without the players we have nothing. And Mickey and our hurling management completely understand that, and you know, work together very closely for the betterment of the club and the players. But I suppose Mickey's biggest trait is that as a club and a community, we can sometimes become a little bit too passionate. Mickey just is calm, cool, collected along the line. He calms us down. He keeps us on a level path, because sometimes in the past we probably let our discipline or focus wane a wee bit, and that has came back to bite us. So in the last couple of years we've been trying to keep a lid on things and just listen to a wise old head, because Mickey's been around and done it all before. But there's no doubt about it, what he has done and the model that he has created for a club will leave a lasting legacy. That's definitely without question.
Yeah, it's very impressive with him, really, because, you know, he's a former inter-county manager. It would be very easy to go into a club like Slough Neil and, you know, have a bit of an ego and say, look, forget about that dual stuff, you know, which is in vogue at the moment. But Mickey's actually, you know, trying to work with the hurling management all the time and come to a, you know, an agreement with them so that you can play with both teams.
Yeah, definitely. But I've always said it too, that Slough Neil, the club was formed in 1953. And if you're being honest, from 53 until now, without the last 3 or 4 years of senior success, the club has still had a fair bit of success across all three codes, albeit maybe it was quite sporadic at times. But
yeah,
the club has always been quite successful. I mean, but Slough Neil has always had high expectations and all the rest of it. But they've always give hurling, football, and camogie a fair chance, irrespective if they have been winning or not. And I think that's very, very fair to actually point out now, because people tend to think when you're winning everything, oh, they must be doing something different or whatever. But really, we haven't done that much different. We've continued to respect the three codes, and we've got a really good group of players coming through the club at the minute also. But definitely Mickey Moran and Mickey McShane, and both respective hurling management, hurling and football teams, have got on well together, and that has rubbed off on the players. And the players now, when they pull on a Slough Neil jersey, if they have a football in their hand or a hurling in their hand, it's the same thing. You want to go out and you want to win for your club, and that's just the crux of it.
Yeah, how do you feel about balancing both? You said you've been on the go now, you were on the go for 4 weeks in a row. You won the Ulster Club in the hurling. You've obviously got the Camogie as well. How do you find it balancing both? In my eyes, I haven't been a dual player, but it looks to me like, you know, you play games every weekend instead of training at the weekend, so it's a great deal. But it's about having the management's, you know, getting on and allowing you to do that.
Look, I'm very wary to complain, because in the last couple of years we've been in an absolute privileged position, but there's no doubt about it that the fixtures perhaps could be more accommodating. But the older I get, probably the tougher it's becoming. The physical side of it's tough, yes, but the mental side of it's tough, because you get up for a game, and then you have to try and get back down during the weekend, and
yeah,
then try and raise yourself again. So if that's going on for 4 or 5 weeks in a row, it becomes a little bit challenging. But hopefully this Club Players Association can sort out any kind of kinks in the fixture chaos and make it a bit more approachable and manageable for a dual player. Because at the end of the day, I think Slough Neil has proven that if you're a dual club, it adds that little bit of an extra incentive to actually get involved in Gaelic games, because at the end of the day, we want to promote all the Gaelic games that we have going. I think if I had a young boy growing up, I think I would want him playing hurling on football, and that's just being honest, and that's the way that Stradale of the club has to look at things now.
Yeah, incredible. You've got 12 dual players, which is, I know you, so you're a very, you know, it's just from a small village, but 12 doubling up, it's an incredible amount to have to try and, like you said, come from the heights of an Ulster club title back down to a quarter final in the football.
Aye, it is. And I suppose part of the reason why it's working so well at the minute is that's the age profile of them dual players. I think of the guys that actually start on both teams, I think I'm the oldest at 27, so there's no doubt about it that the age profile definitely helps, because as I said before, the older you get, probably it becomes a little bit more difficult. But I think, you know, the lads are absolute credit the way they conduct themselves. I mean, after championship finals, they're going to the ice baths, they're going to get a meal, and they're going back to the house. Now, obviously, that's a wee bit sad that you can't go out and actually celebrate at times after a big one. But
yeah,
their actual desire and their professionalism has just inspired a younger generation of Slaneel. I mean, when you go back to the hall now on the big nights, and you see the hall full of people, and you see all the youngsters that go up onto the stage with the players, and they're just there in their droves looking up at the players, and they're just idolising the actual players. And I think you have to be very wary of how great our players are, because not every community has role models like that.
No, you're very, very lucky to be at the club at this time, you know, in your history. You got a few points after the hurling Ulster final, surely.
Yeah, I think a few of the boys went on a bit of a session after the hurling or whatever. But it was only that night. We had the game the next week, but
yeah.
I still think, you know, at the end of the day, it's still an amateur game and all the rest of it. But arguably the way the GAA has gone in general, that you know, even the average GAA club player now, their levels of professionalism and their application and all the rest, they're probably the ultimate professional, because they have to balance their life around their sporting commitments. But as I said in Slaneel, there's a template of what's expected, and sometimes if you don't follow that template, you're pulled in the line very quickly, and I think that's the way it has to be if you want to achieve success at the highest level.
Yeah, finally, do you think is it difficult to keep a lid on the, you know, the excitement around the village and stuff? I know when you're playing with Derry, if you're in a big match, you know, you can get away from it, but I suppose it's impossible to get away from the hype when you're from such a smaller place.
I suppose, you know, the hype was arguably bigger in 2014 when we were in our first Ulster Pro football final than it is at the minute. I think everybody in the club now are a little bit more aware that you want to give the players a bit more breathing room, and maybe that just comes with a wee bit of experience. But in the last 3 or 4 years, we've been involved in a lot of big games in both hurling and football. We've won a few and we've lost a few. So as reporters, I suppose, they know that they can go and enjoy it and enjoy the hype and whatever, but they also know that the players are of a certain attitude that they just have to focus on the next obstacle at hand. So I would definitely say that the hype was probably greater in 2014, which is definitely better for a playing perspective.
Right. I suppose you'll be modest here as well, but all this success has coincided with you coming home from Australia as well.
Is that just a fluke? If you can believe in destiny, or you can believe in the things are meant to be. But we have outstanding leaders in the club, and I think that has to be said. You know, Patsy Bradley, when Patsy Bradley speaks in training or when he speaks in the dressing room, everyone's quiet. It would, you know, the hair stand on the back of your neck. And then you have the Rick Kellys, you have the Barry McGuigans, you have the Paul Bradley, the boys that have earned the respect for years, the Frank McElderney, our captain, the boys that have soldiered on for years and that have won very, very little. But now in the twilight of their career, they have inspired the younger generation. And I think it's as much down to them, if not more down to them, than even the guys around my age, because it takes the older heads at times to keep everybody in line.
Yeah, well, listen, you'll get a well-deserved rest this weekend, and you'll be playing Kilcoo in the Ulster final the following Sunday. So best of luck with it. We hope you can do the three in a row.
Okay, thank you, Colm.
Or the treble, rather. Thanks very much, Chrissy.
Okay, Colm, thank you.
Okay, up next, we'll have a look ahead to the club games at the weekend.
Is the little dink fist pass from a crowded area into that D we're at home about where Bernard, I've talked to Bernard about, Bernard's very patient, but this little dink ball, you know, the one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken out, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest, and there's consternation then in around the D and in around that area. Watch for this in the semis and the final. Do you know the one I'm talking about? That little fisted ball that's just bounced in a crowded area, but it gets to the
yeah,
body.
Yeah, you have said it three times.
It's in around, but you're looking at me, you're looking
out
at me
of a crowded area, isn't it?
You're looking at me with such a confused head in you. It's like I was talking about you trying to get a point in coppers or something there in a crowded area. Yeah, watch for it.
All right, we've got club games on Saturday and on Sunday, lads. On Saturday, we've got an All-Ireland Junior Hurling Championship quarter-final between Fulham Gaels and Callery St. Joseph's. They're from Sligo. We've a Munster Club Intermediate Hurling Final, Lismore from Waterford and Kilmoyley from Kerry. And we have a big one, Leinster Junior Football Championship Final between Brachna Offaly and Rosenallis in Laois. Rose and Alice, incidentally, are in the Junior Football Leinster Final and the Junior Hurling Leinster Final. That's a huge achievement to talk about Slot Nail. I know it's only junior, but lads, trust me, Rose and Alice, you'll blink and you'll be gone through Rose and Alice, you know. So that's a huge achievement. I know Declan Kinraí is over the hurling team and he's doing a brilliant job with them. Sunday we have some pretty big hurling games. It seems like it's a hurling weekend. We have Owlart taking on Loughlin Gaels. That's the game of the weekend as far as I'm concerned. We've St Mullins from Carlow taking on Coola. We've Glen Rovers taking on Ballyea. That will rival Owlart and Loughlin Gaels. We have some intermediate Connacht Club, Ballinamore and Westport. That's Lee Keegan, obviously, in action. We have Connacht Junior Football Championship and we've an Ulster Intermediate Championship Final. I've gone way too far through that list. Mikey, this is your bread and butter, Owlart to Ballot. Against the Loughlin Gaels, a local derby, maybe.
Of sorts.
It's intercounty local derby.
Yeah, well, the club scene is still where Wexford can, you know, at least claim parity with those cats next door, because God knows we haven't had it for a long time in intercounty. I fancy Owler here, to be honest with you. They're the reigning Leinster champions. Loughlin Gaels, I don't know.
After beating the great
Ballyhale, just because Ballyhale pelted you with slitters and gave you welts that
very
were still accurate. Going down. I don't know. I look at that Loughlin Gaels team, and you know, you see Brian Hogan, and you see like some Martin Comerford. But I don't know. I think Owlert team, they're a lovely mix of youth, and like they bet Ryan's very well in the quarter final without Keith Roster, without Nicky Kerwin, without Owen Moore. You know, that's serious going. They've a couple of young fellows there who are going. Murtha Doyle, I think he's a county minor. He shot the lights out against Ryan's. They're just Owlert are the Kilkenny of Leinster, and without choking in finals.
No, they're not the Kilkenny now, because Kilkenny win Leinster.
Okay. They won last. Bar a couple of minor.
They won 1-7 or something.
Barring a few minor choking incidents in Leinster finals, they would be more of a powerhouse. But I think they will get over Loughlin Gaels and then probably lose to St Mullins of Carlow in the final.
You think St Mullins? Owlert actually, would you believe, they might have bottled a few that they thought, because Owlert's problem was that they'd beat the Kilkenny champions and then they lose to the Offaly champions.
Or the Carlow champions.
Yeah, they lost to them. Oh, it was actually...
It was Mount Leinster Rangers.
Mount Leinster Rangers, that was exactly...
No, I think Coola will beat St Mullins as well.
Yeah, no, I think so too. But Owlert the Ballot, to be fair to them, they showed a lot of bottle in that Coola game last year, because it was a scrappy game. It was a really difficult game, and they got through a tight one when Coola had the wind in the second half, so you have to give them credit that at least maybe they've turned that corner. Coola, you'd imagine, will beat St Mullins, and that'll be a repeat of last year's final. Well, I don't think Owlett are guaranteed to beat Loughlin Gaels. Westport lads, Lee Keegan on the go, he's been on the go a long, long time now. And you know, it's a you'd imagine they're going to win this, because let's be honest, Leitrim club football isn't massively strong, and to beat the Galway champions last week, Lee Keegan lines out at midfield for Westport. Whenever you think of Westport, you just think of Stags and stuff. You don't really think it's the homeland of GAA, but they're back up to senior now. You know, and they're a solid team. Actually, I was going to talk to Lee Keegan on the show last week. You know, he went back playing with his club the week after losing to Dublin. His club were the Dublin colours, which I thought must have, psychologically, that must have been a really weird mental thing to get over. Like, I'm here wearing the same colours that I despised for the last month.
He's wearing winning colours, though, so maybe that psychologically is a good thing.
He tore several jerseys before getting out of the dressing room.
Yeah, the other big one then is Glen Rovers and Ballyale. As we talked about Ballyale a lot last week, obviously they were obviously on TV and beat Turles Sarsfields in such dramatic fashion, you know, with Brennan getting a goal in the last minute. That's Gary Brennan, the footballer, playing a full forward. Glen Rovers, kind of flatter to deceive a little bit, necessarily.
They're proper aristocrats of Cork hurling, who kind of had a few down years, I think, didn't they? And they've kind of, they're coming back now. But I think you kind of want Ballyale there, don't you? You want this club that kind of risen up from on the back of just one of these freakish generations of talent. And I don't know, they're battlers, the way they've scrapped so far. I think most neutrals probably want to see the Clare team come out on top there, don't they?
Yeah, you'd imagine they would. So it's a brilliant weekend. It's a brilliant weekend of hurling, and there's a little bit of football thrown in there too. So enjoy it all, and we'll be back. I won't be here next Wednesday, but the lads will be more than capable of standing in.
You're going to see a spike in the numbers next week.
I have a huge spike in the numbers. I'll just hand in my notice.
Repeat, Woolley will not be here next week.
We'll see. I'll see you in 2 weeks. The lads will see you next Wednesday. Good luck.
Yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.